Good morning. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus told a parable about a farmer who went out to sow seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up quickly, but they were choked. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. As you can imagine, Jesus' disciples asked him to explain this parable. And Jesus replied, beginning in verse 19, "When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." Now, there are some things in this parable that are evident. The farmer is God, and the seed is the message of the kingdom. But today, I want to focus on the good soil that yields 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Why? Because that good soil is you and me. We are those who have received the message of the kingdom, and we have said yes to it. Now, what kind of crop are we producing? Because we are co-laborers with God, and it's now our turn to sow seed. What kind of seed are we sowing? Here's some things that we need to know about sowing seed. And let's begin with the one that is the most important. You don't have to be someone special to sow the seeds of the kingdom. You don't have to be someone special to sow seeds of the kingdom. You don't have to be a superstar. You don't have to be a celebrity. One of the surest teachings in all of the Bible is that anybody can be used of God to do the work of the kingdom. Let me tell you a story that was told by James Billington, Librarian of Congress and a student of Russian history. Billington happened to be in Moscow in August of 1991. It was a tense and dangerous time with the old Soviet regime giving way to a new social order. Boris Yeltsin and a small group of defenders occupied the Russian White House and successfully managed to face off an enormous number of tanks and troops poised to attack and to restore the old guard in the Soviet Union. Surprisingly, a key role in the successful resistance was played, believe it or not, said Billington, by the babushkas, the old women in the church. These bandana-wearing old grandmothers who had kept the Orthodox Church alive for years during the Soviet period had been the butt of jokes by both Russians and Westerners alike. Nothing could have seemed more pathetic and irrelevant than they, hunched over and wrapped in woolen shawls. They were widely regarded as evidence of the eventual death of religion in the Soviet Union. Yet, on that critical night of August 20th, 1991, when martial law was proclaimed and people were commanded to go to their homes, many of these women disobeyed and went instead to the place of confrontation. Some of them fed the resistors. Others prayed for a miracle, while still others astoundedly climbed onto the tanks, peered into the slits at the men inside, and told them that there were new orders, and these were from God. Thou shalt not kill. These young men stopped the tanks. The attack, said Billington, never came. You don't have to be extraordinary, nor do you even have to be extraordinarily gifted to help determine the history of a nation or even the world. After all, there's no better evidence of that than that which is found in Scripture. Few of the heroes in the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, are heroic at all. In fact, they did some really stupid things. But God still used them, just as God can use us. You don't have to be someone special to sow the seeds of the kingdom. However, you do need to be committed. To sow seeds in the kingdom, you have to be committed. This is the most important secret in life. You and I can accomplish extraordinary things if we are willing to pay the price. On June 1st, 2001, a young Arab man named Sahid Atori strapped a load of explosives on his body and walked into downtown Tel Aviv. He waited until he was surrounded by a crowd of Israelis, and then Hattori triggered the bombs. 21 Israelis died that day with Hattori in the blast. And as soon as the news reached Sahid Hattori's community, his family and friends began celebrating. To them, he is a hero. The Palestinians who commit these bombings and those who celebrate them believe that a jihad, an act of holy war, is the highest form of religious service. And that anyone who dies in a jihad is guaranteed to go straight to paradise, where according to the Muslim holy book, the Quran, he will enjoy unlimited sex with 72 virgins. The Hamas, the militant Palestinian group that is behind these bombings, believes in educating young children in the glories of jihad. There are signs along the walls in the Hamas-run schools extolling the heroism of suicide bombings. One 11-year-old boy in one Hamas school announced, "I will make my body a bomb that will blast the flesh of Zionists. I will tear their bodies into little pieces and cause them more pain than they will ever know." Sahid Atori's proud father says that he hopes Sahid's brothers and friends will follow his example and become suicide bombers too. As he says, there is no better way to show God that you love Him. That's scary. It's misguided, of course, even demonic. But it's also a level of commitment that most of us know nothing about. There is a better way to show God that you love Him. Rather than dying for God, how about living for Him? How about becoming a sower of seeds? You don't have to be someone special to sow the seeds of the kingdom. But you do have to be committed. You do have to know what you believe, and you have to be willing to give yourself completely to it. The truth is, to make a difference in this world, it requires a high level of commitment. In 1998, a 16-year-old named Alden Tucker read a news story about Michael Pennan, a 15-year-old boy of multiracial heritage who had contracted leukemia. Michael's only hope for recovery was a bone marrow transplant. Unfortunately, his exotic ethnic heritage, African American, Hispanic, and Korean, drastically reduced his chances of finding a matching donor. But Alden Tucker, who is also the same ethnic race as Michael, immediately volunteered to serve as a donor. But because bone marrow donation is an invasive and painful procedure, federal law prohibits bone marrow testing for people under 18 years of age. Alden Tucker wasn't about to take no for an answer. He began talking to reporters and to legislators about changing the consent laws for bone marrow donation. He also met and befriended Michael Pennan. And just before Michael's death in 1999, Alden promised him that he would never give up the campaign to change bone marrow donation laws. In March 2000, the Michael Pennan Law, allowing bone marrow testing and donation by people under the age of 18, was signed into law in the state of Washington. He was only a teenager, but Alden Tucker made a difference. And you know what? So can you. So can I. So can we, if we're willing to pay the price. That's why the cross stands at the center of our worship. Someone was willing to pay the price on our behalf. People often ask, especially when you're a preacher, was it necessary for Christ to die upon the cross? Obviously it was. We, of course, cannot see into the mind of God, but Christ dying on the cross is a reminder to us that if our lives are to have any impact on the world, we are going to have to give our lives to something bigger than ourselves. Nothing in life worthwhile is obtained without sacrifice. Someone has to sacrifice to build a good marriage. Well, two someones. Someone has to sacrifice to produce children that are healthy mentally, spiritually, and physically. Someone has to sacrifice to build a successful company or a successful community. Humanity never moves forward unless someone is willing to go beyond the effects of the ordinary or the average. Jesus was not average. Jesus wasn't about all talk and no walk. Jesus immersed Himself in His role. Jesus went far beyond what we could consider normal. Just imagine knowing all of your life that you were going to die on that bloody cross of Calvary. Imagine waking up every morning knowing what your end was going to be. Imagine walking by a tomb and knowing in the lapse of a certain time period, perhaps just 3 years after the beginning of His ministry, He knew that He would be lying after having the stone rolled over the tomb. You see, Jesus blesses us because Jesus was committed. Jesus blesses us because in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He languished, even to the point wherein it was as if drops of blood were falling from His brow, Jesus was not shirking back because of His fear of death and of pain. Oh yes, He asked for that cup to pass. Not because He was afraid, but because He was so concerned about being separated from His Father. But even separation, the worst thing possible, did not keep Jesus from being committed to the world and to His Father for the redemption of humanity. Jesus didn't just talk about His Father and talk about saving the world. Jesus saw it through. And He saw it through all the way to the cross. We know that God was committed to the saving of humanity. We know that God was committed from saving us from our foolish ways. But how do we know? We know because of the cross. You and I, we try to get through life on the cheap. We try to get through life the easy way. We try to get by each day on minimal effort. But the truth is, church, it simply will not work. So I ask you, what kind of seed are you sowing in the lives of the people that you love? What kind of seed are you sowing in the community in which you live? What kind of seed are you sowing in the world for which Christ died? Will this world have been a better place because you lived here? You see, it doesn't take a lot of effort to realize the truth. But it does take a lot of commitment to follow through. It doesn't take a lot of talent to make a difference in this world. All it takes is someone willing to take up his cross. Are you willing to take up your cross? If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we will give you the opportunity this morning to put Jesus, our Savior, on in baptism. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you're concerned about the type of seed you have been sowing, the leadership asks you to repent of that and to change your life. Will you do that right now? If we can help you, please come as we all stand and sing.